G'day everyone, welcome back to the final module of the Hybrid Cloud Workload SQL course designed for IT pros who need to know more about Azure capabilities for SQL and how we can actually marry that up with our on-premises environments to create a truly hybrid cloud. So this is module 6, managing a database in the hybrid cloud. Now in this particular section, we're going to drill down a little bit into something we haven't really touched yet, and that is, should we be doing SQL in the hybrid cloud utilizing an IaaS methodology or a PaaS methodology? Now, up until now, we've mainly talked about platform as a service when it comes to SQL Server, both in Microsoft Azure, as well as on-premises using the Windows Azure pack for Windows Server. But let's step outside that box a little bit and think to ourselves, well, maybe rather than doing this as pure platform as a service, we could actually run SQL VMs either locally or in the public cloud or even in our hosting cloud. And what might that mean to us? Why would we might want to do that? And we want to look at some more advanced hybrid cloud features. So thinking along the lines of, yes, let's potentially go down the IaaS path. What do we gain? What do we lose? Can we do our high availability? Can we do our always on when we're in the cloud rather than on our on-premises environment? So first question we want to ask ourselves is, what are we going to do? Are we going infrastructure as a service, or are we going platform as a service in the hybrid cloud? Let's think about comparing and contrasting the different options for relational data services in the cloud here. Firstly, if we're going to go down infrastructure as a service, what does that actually mean? Infrastructure as a service means whether it's using the Windows Azure pack for Windows Server in an on-premises environment, or whether it means in Microsoft Azure in the public cloud, what we're doing is we're deploying a full VM with SQL Server installed in that full VM. We now become responsible for patching that particular VM, for looking after the operating system on that VM, rather than platform as a service. Now with platform as a service, what we're doing is we're simply connecting to a database that's been spun up on a SQL VM inside Azure or inside the on-premises environment where the rest of the service is fully managed. So we don't care about the hardware or the admin costs. We don't care about anything. We're just building the modern apps that we're building to connect to that particular database. The thing is, we don't get much capability in the way of customization. So if I really need to play with the engine itself in a really deep format, I may not be able to do that as well as I could in an infrastructure as a service scenario where the environment can be fully customized because I'm in total control of the operating system running that particular VM. Of course, what I'm doing is I'm eliminating those hardware costs again because I am hosting that VM either on my hosting infrastructure or on my hosting partner infrastructure or potentially in Microsoft Azure. But I am now incurring an admin cost because I am fully responsible for that particular operating system. However, it is decreasing my time to market. I'm getting that done very quickly. It's literally a case of 3, 4, 5 clicks in an administrative console, and then I have a VM propagating itself into that environment and ready for me to go. Contrast that with having to ask our IT people to go and provision a full server in a rack and build that up for us, etc., etc. All right, so let's have a look at our deployment solutions. So our deployment solutions in the public cloud are SQL Server in a Microsoft Azure virtual machine or Microsoft Azure SQL Database Service, formerly SQL Azure Database. Now remember, this could also be being done through Windows Azure Pack for Windows Server in a hosting environment or an on-premises environment. In terms of the key scenarios, this is where we feel best practice you should be utilizing these different forms of deployment. So when it comes to IaaS, we would suggest moving your existing Tier 2 and Tier 3 apps would be best done by migrating virtual machines holus bolus into Microsoft Azure or potentially building new VMs and then putting that Tier 2 and Tier 3 app inside there. Definitely good for dev and test, very quickly getting a dev and test environment up and running, VM installed, VM running, developer comes along, develops as they would, and they can develop in a production-like environment so we can build that virtual machine infrastructure to emulate how it would look in a production environment, either on-premises or in a hoster, or indeed the production environment that you eventually intend to put inside Microsoft Azure. We suggest that for high availability and disaster recovery hybrid scenarios using always on, you'll definitely need to do a virtual machine if you're going to put those in the public cloud. And we have extensive guidance on how to actually get HA and disaster recovery going in an always on environment in Microsoft Azure. MSDN has a lot of information about that and even has a step-by-step tutorial guide to show you how to get this done. Lastly, if I want to extend my on-prem apps to Windows Azure VMs, then I should be doing this as an IaaS type solution as well. And when it comes to platform as a service, with platform as a service, we're really looking at this when we're developing new apps that is designed to run in the cloud and the cloud up. Okay, obviously, if we've got existing machines and existing applications that have been written with database in mind, that goes more towards an IaaS type solution. But if we're coming to this fresh, why not start with a PaaS solution instead? There is so much less for me to have to worry about. And of course, if we want to extend those on-prem apps to Microsoft Azure SQL Database, then we can utilize a PaaS methodology for that as well. There is nothing to say you must go one way or the other. We can very easily have a combination of SQL servers running in an IaaS type scenario, as well as PaaS-based SQL database service for a single subscription. If we are going to go with Windows Azure virtual machines in an IaaS type scenario, one of the first things you'll need to do is think about what size virtual machine are we going to need for SQL. And we have a whole bunch of sizing recommendations available on the SQL Server website, as well as inside the Microsoft Azure website as well. And this just gives you a bit of an idea of the different VM sizes. Not to forget, of course, last week at TechEd, we announced A8 and A9 sizes as well for truly huge workloads available in Microsoft Azure. So why don't we have a bit of a demo? Why don't we drill into this and have a look at what it might look like to build an IaaS solution with SQL Server. And here we are in the Microsoft Azure admin portal. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go down the IaaS equivalent of setting up a SQL Server in this environment. We've done a lot of work with PaaS SQL databases. Now we're taking one of our workloads directly into the cloud and working with it as an IaaS-based SQL VM. So how am I going to do this? Well, the first thing I want to do is create my virtual machine. So what I'll do is I'll choose New, I'll go into Compute, Virtual Machine, and I'm going to go to the gallery. And the great thing about the gallery here is it gives me a whole bunch of predefined images for different types of workloads for Windows Server and Unix and Linux. So I'm going to choose Gallery now. As we can see, I can choose to just deploy a Windows Server 2012 R2 data center VM, and that will be just a blank VM that I can go in and start changing as and when I need to. But notice down here, we have the ability to put out automatically created SQL servers. So I'm interested in deploying SQL Server in my environment. I want to check out 2014 RTM Enterprise. So effectively what we're doing here is we're deploying a sysprepped version of SQL Server. And when this fires up, we can then start working with Windows Azure. We can work with enabling CIP, which has currently been disabled. We can do a whole bunch of other things in here. We can start developing those applications. Have a look down here. You can see a whole bunch of different types of operating systems that we provide you automated VMs for. And what's even better is we can create our own images on premises and upload them into Windows Azure or Microsoft Azure. So that if you do have an image already for SQL servers, fully sysprepped that you always use, not a problem, use PowerShell to upload that. You haven't got an issue, you're straight into working with it. So I'm going to choose SQL Server 2014 RTM Enterprise and I'll click Next. Now, first thing I'm going to need to do here is create myself a virtual machine name. So I'm going to call this Macca SQL. And yes, it's looking good. No one else is using that name. And the next thing I need to do is choose the size of the virtual machine that I want. And the size, as you can see here, is A1 through to A7. So if I want a really powerful SQL server, I can choose to go with 8 cores and 56 gig of memory. I reckon I'm probably okay with a 4-core box with 7 gig of memory, because I'm only using this as a test. The next thing we'll need to do is provide a username, which will be utilized for the default administrator account of this particular virtual machine. So as usual, I'll use Macca, and I'll put in an appropriately strong password. This is the one I always use, and it likes that one. And this wasn't the password I was using on my Twitter account when it started advertising Louis Vuitton handbags a few months ago, but thankfully that's no longer happening. We'll choose Next. Now we're asked to put this inside a cloud service. So what we're doing here is we're building a cloud service so that we can access this particular virtual machine and any other resource that happens to be coexistent within the same cloud service by a single fully qualified domain name. That single fully qualified domain name will be maccasql.cloudapp.net, and I'll be able to utilize that fully qualified domain name to connect to this virtual machine. Now let's say I created 6 or 7 other virtual machines and put them all inside this cloud service. This cloud service will automatically do a port redirection for me so that when I connect to a particular virtual machine, I connect to every single one using the same DNS name and simply routing to the appropriate VM listening on that particular cloud service. I'll put this inside the West US data center. I'll allow it to automatically generate a storage account to store the VHDs in, and I don't need an availability set for this one, so I'm just going to choose next. Now, what you're seeing here is really exciting. This was announced last week. We now have VM agents that can automatically distribute things like configuration extensions for us inside our virtual machine. So if we do use Chef or Puppet for development purposes, we can have that automatically installed. And you can see now that we've gone into partnership, not only with our own anti-malware stuff, but also, of course, Symantec and Trend Micro to allow us to put security extensions directly into the VM as well. Now, I'm happy not to put any of those extra things in there, so I'll hit Next. And as we can see, my Mecca SQL machine is now provisioning. This will take quite a while. What we're needing to do here is we're needing to build our VHD. We're grabbing that, we're starting it up, and then eventually, once that has started up, I'll be able to connect to it. When I connect to this, you'll notice down below that we have some grayed out icons here at the moment. And the reason these are grayed out is because the machine has not become available to connect to yet. You'll notice that one of these has a connect option. When I choose that connect option, it's going to dynamically build me a remote desktop connection file to allow me to RDP into the desktop of that machine and act as though it was in my own data center, working with that as I normally would. You'll notice another particularly useful thing here, especially for large database servers that are going to need to spread their data between multiple disk spindles, and that's the attach option. The attach option allows us to build VHD files and effectively attach them to the VM. What I can then do is I can go into the disk management capability inside the admin tools. I can rescan the hardware, and all of those disks that I've attached to that machine will then appear in that VM. Now let's think about some of the new storage capabilities we have inside Windows Server 2012 R2. Maybe we want to set up a storage space, utilizing all of these disks that we've created. So setting up that virtual disk, you know, maybe giving it some a two-way or a three-way mirror for high availability, maybe even setting up parity for that particular virtual disk. And I can do all of that simply by creating the VHDs in my storage account and attaching them to that particular machine. One of the other things you'll notice here is the delete section. So when you've finished utilizing your virtual machine, whether it's just for dev and test purposes or whatever, we can delete from here and also delete all of the associated assets inside the storage account that are associated with that virtual machine. So it's one click to get everything done that I need to do. Notice from here as well, we also have restart and shutdown capabilities on that virtual machine. And when you're an MSDN subscriber, of course, you'll get a certain amount of credit every month for working with these. One thing I would recommend is if you are working with a lot of virtual machines and they're very large and you are using your MSDN credit, make sure you turn everything off when you've stopped using it, because I've found occasionally I do tend to wind my credit down simply by forgetting to turn off the VMs. So it's something to think about there. As we can see, these are still coming across, so we'll just jump to our VM images, and as yet you can see nothing's been created. And the reason for this is the section I'll go to if I've built my own VHD, I've sysprepped that VHD, and I want to upload that directly into Microsoft Azure. That will then become part of my images section of the gallery that only I can see, and I can start pulling those out and deploying those as I need them. Notice here the disks shows me all of the VHD files that are sitting inside my storage account and gives me an idea of exactly which of these virtual machines I've created that they're attached to. So if we just go back to our instances section here, you'll see that we're still starting, we're still provisioning. And notice the DNS name here, so we can actually see that this is macasql.cloudapp.net. That is coming from the cloud service that we created before. And as I said, everything is going into that particular cloud service. Let's just drill a little bit further into another virtual machine that I have here to give you an idea of dashboarding capabilities around infrastructure as a service capabilities inside Microsoft Azure. You can see here I have my dashboard. This is for my Mecca 8.1 machine. One of the great new capabilities that we announced last week at TechEd was that for MSDN subscribers, you now have the ability to run Windows client VMs in Microsoft Azure, purely for dev and test purposes. This is not a production type environment. You'll see here that I have my dashboard similar to what you've seen before. We can play around with monitoring and auto scale, just like we did with our websites, just like we did with our SQL databases in various other MBA courses you may have seen. And here we have the ability, as per usual, to add different metrics we want to monitor. We have the ability to add extra endpoints, so we're effectively opening up the firewall on this particular machine to connect to such services as PowerShell, Remote PowerShell, or Remote Desktop. And of course, we have our configuration section here where we can actually change the size of our VM on an ad hoc basis. And we can see now, if we go to our SQL server, that is again telling us that the provisioning is currently in process and will be finished fairly soon. All right, so that gives you a bit of an idea of how this can work. You can see now that our virtual machine is in the running state, like so, which means that the virtual machine has been mostly provisioned and is currently running. Notice it says running provisioning. That's because it's just finalizing things like its sysprep first run behavior. You'll notice that now that my Mac OSQL server is running, a connect icon has now lit up. If I hit that connect icon, it will save down an RDP file for me, which will allow me to connect to the remote desktop of this machine. I'll choose not to ask for connections again to that computer and click connect. And assuming that it's got to a point where it's started up to the point where it can take a connection, it will allow me to do so. Now you'll see at the moment, because we're still in that provisioning phase, it's not quite there yet, so we'll cancel that and we'll just wait for it to finish off. It gives you a really good idea though of what we can do here. All right. Well, hopefully that gives you a bit of an idea of some of the things that you can do with provisioning your virtual machines in a Microsoft Azure environment. So with that, we'll go back to the slides. Okay, welcome back. What we're looking at now is some advanced hybrid cloud features. So we've looked at how we can do this as a IaaS as a service inside Microsoft Azure. Now let's just think about some of the other things we might need to do from a hybrid cloud perspective. And the first one, backing up SQL Server, whether it be 2012 or 2014, to a URL. Now thinking about this, we have an on-premises SQL Server. We need to back that up. We've decided we want to back that up into Windows Azure Storage. Well, that's fine. We can do that. 2014, we can do that out of the box. 2012, we will require SP1 with Cumulative Update 2 in order to get this. And with Cumulative Update 2, we basically extend some T-SQL in the backup and restore database commands to be able to back up to that URL. So all we need to do, build ourselves a storage account, create ourselves a container in Blob Storage, and then back up to the appropriate URL that we're given in the administrative tool. One of the other things we might be interested in doing is high availability or disaster recovery with SQL Server always on to Azure. So as we can see here, we have two real options. Firstly, we set up our SQL Server always on availability groups inside Azure VMs. We set up our on-premises primary database with failover replicas inside Azure. So as you can see, our in-house data center, we're backing up as our secondary, or I should say we're replicating as our secondary to the always on in the Azure data center. How about utilizing Azure as an extension of your on-premises network? So maybe setting up site-to-site VPNs or site-to-site network connections so that we can store our databases either on-premises or in the cloud and connect to the other end of their applications simply over that VPN tunnel. And if you are thinking of going down the path of using SQL Server in an Azure VM, then we have a whole bunch of guidance for you. Think about capacity planning by load testing your workloads. So stick those workloads up there, really hit them hard, see how they're functioning in the size VM that you've created. So if you've hit those workloads hard and you know that an A5 VM isn't coping, think about expanding it up to an A6, A7. One of the great things these days is we can change the sizing of a VM from A1 all the way through to A8 and A9 without having to delete and recreate it. It's really quite nice. Think about increasing your performance. Choose the best VM image size that I've already mentioned. Think definitely about using Enterprise Edition SQL Server rather than Standard Edition. You will get better performance, reason being from the group commit feature in Enterprise. And don't forget, build multiple data drives. Put them onto the VM. Don't put everything in the one drive. Stripe it out. Use file groups just as you would a real server. You get the ability based on the size of the VM to add one or more data disks to it. If we look at something like an A7 VM, we can add 16 data disks to that to make an incredible amount of space available to our VMs. For high availability, think about always-on availability groups with Azure VMs running SQL Server replicas as the secondaries, as we mentioned before. You will need a domain controller out there somewhere to connect to, so think about either putting a DC in Azure, or optionally, think about setting up a site-to-site VPN so we can hit back to that domain controller as we need it. And as I said before, if you need to figure out how to set this up, get onto MSDN, search for always-on Azure VM, you will find a step-by-step tutorial document on how to do it. So, really, we really think that SQL Server and Azure VMs are a great way to start migrating some of those workloads either into a hosting provider or into the public cloud. Firstly, you'll get a low total cost of ownership for existing apps because you won't need to change the apps at all. You're simply taking an image, you're putting it up in Microsoft Azure, and you're running it. You'll get a full SQL Server capability as opposed to the restricted capabilities you get in the platform as a service SQL database. You'll get full flexibility and control, but some would say more workload. Yes, you're in charge of the virtual machine. You're in charge of administering the operating system. We're not going to do all of those updates, etc., for you that we do underneath when the platform as a service option is chosen. And then finally, it's a managed infrastructure. So the infrastructure you're running on, the Azure data centers, are fully managed with a 99.95% SLA for virtual machines, and we get that single pane of glass in System Center 2012 App Controller to be able to see our VMs running in our hybrid cloud, from the on-premises environment all the way through to Microsoft Azure. All right, so we have hit the end of this particular course. Thank you very much for your attention. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please, again, the three resources there available to you. You know all about them by now. I don't need to tell you anymore. So once again, thank you very much for your attention. I hope to see you here in another MVA course really soon. Enjoy your day. Enjoy those points. Enjoy those quiz questions. Thanks a lot.